Craigslist is almost never the first place I go when I need to buy something, but sometimes you can get good deals on things that would otherwise be really expensive. At the time, I was searching for new workout equipment. Weights and machines are really expensive to buy new, so Craigslist was the perfect way to find used ones for cheap. Anyways, I scrolled through the site for a few days before eventually finding a posting that looked really good. It was a set of weights for a pretty good deal and was posted only a few hours ago. The poster's name was Mary, so I sent her an email and told her I was very interested in her weight set and would like to pick them up as soon as possible. Mary replied just a few minutes later, saying that she was available tonight when she got home from work at 7. It was a little bit late, but it wasn't too big of a deal for me since I wanted them as soon as possible. I agreed, and she responded with her address. Of course, I looked it up to see where it was and what the house looked like. It was 20 minutes away in a small neighborhood that I was actually familiar with, as one of my old friends used to live nearby. The house was regular sized and didn't have any real defining features other than the fact that it looked pretty old, but nothing looked too strange or gave me bad vibes, so that night I drove down there. The place was at the end of the road in a cul-de-sac, so I parked on the side of the house by their mailbox and made my way up to the front door, which was already opened. I didn't want to just walk into the house, so I knocked on the open door a few times to get their attention. A moment later, a man comes down from the hall.
Hi. I was supposed to meet with Mary to look at some workout stuff she had posted on Craigslist.
The man's face lit up, and he said to come on in. He told me that Mary would be down in a few minutes as she was changing out of her work clothes. This definitely made me cautious, but he sounded genuine and believable, so I followed him into his living room where there was a set of weights on the ground. However, aside from the weights, there was nothing else in the room, no furniture or decorations at all. I think the man saw me looking around, as he quickly said that they were in the process of moving out and that's why they were trying to sell the weights. Still skeptical, I looked at them for a second, but immediately noticed that a few plates were missing. I asked him if this was everything, as I thought I saw more in the pictures. He smiled again, telling me that Mary might know where the other ones are, but then he just stood there looking at me. I got really uncomfortable and asked him if he could go check on Mary to let her know I was here. He waited for a moment, and then he agreed and walked up the stairs. I was obviously beginning to worry that Mary might not even be a real person at this point, so I listened intently to make sure he was talking to someone. After a few seconds of silence, I went over to the bottom of the stairs and looked up towards the top. The man was standing there at the top, just staring at the wall, probably waiting up there to make it seem like he actually went to ask someone. I fell into a panic, knowing now that this was all a lie and I was likely in the middle of something horrible. I started to quickly walk towards the front door, trying not to alert the man, but as soon as I turned around, I heard heavy footsteps rushing down the stairs. He called out for me to wait as I ran straight out the front door and into my car. Strangely, as I drove away, the guy ran out the front door and around the side of the house. I pulled over after driving out of the neighborhood and called the police to let them know what happened, in hopes that they could figure out what was going on. I didn't really know what the man's plan was, but I was confident enough that he was up to something. The officers later came by my house and I gave them more information. They told me that the house I met him at had nobody living there for over a year, which made chills run through my body. Of course, though, I couldn't really give them much helpful information other than a description of what the man looked like. And other than that, all they had to go off of was the weights that he'd put in the empty house that may have fingerprints on them. It worries me that he might still be out there trying to lure people into abandoned homes. But I'm also glad that I was able to make it out of there before he did whatever it was that he planned on doing. I had just graduated college, and I needed a small place to stay while I searched for a new job. I worked part-time at a small grocery store, but now that I graduated, it was time to start looking for a better job. Anyways, apartments were way too expensive to rent on my own, so I was mainly looking for places with spare rooms for rent. I knew it would be awkward for a while living in someone else's house, but I didn't have much of a choice, to be honest. My old roommate from college suggested looking on Craigslist, as most other sites at the time didn't let you post single rooms in a house, or maybe it was just really hard to find them. Either way, Craigslist seemed to have a ton of options to choose from, so I stuck with it. After a few days though, I started to get frustrated, as none of the people would reply to my requests, and the ones that did would just apologize and say it was already taken. But then on Saturday morning, a new room popped up. It was nearby, cheap, and looked pretty nice. In the description, a man named Tom was advertising it as a large house with a spare bedroom for rent that also had a separate bathroom and closet. This sounded perfect to me, so I emailed him about my interest and then went to work. I knew the listing had just been posted that morning, so I felt confident that I was the first one to contact him. On my lunch break, I checked my emails and Tom had replied, asking me to come and view it that afternoon. I knew I'd be tired after work, but I also really wanted this place, so I agreed and we set a time. After work, I drove straight there, which was only about 10 minutes. From the outside, the house looked really nice. It honestly just looked like a regular medium-sized neighborhood home. I parked on the side of the road and walked up to the door, then lightly knocked. After 30 seconds, I knocked again, a little bit harder this time. A minute later, I pulled my phone out to text Tom, but just before I sent it, he opened the door and invited me in. I immediately noticed he was sweating a lot, as if he had just finished a long workout, and he smelled awful. I didn't want to be rude or anything, so I just ignored it. He began walking me around the ground level floor, showing me the kitchen and the living room. He mentioned that he didn't use these rooms often, so I wouldn't have to worry about getting in his way. From the look of the rooms, though, it seemed as though he used them too often. Old dishes were piled up in the sink, and the couch had stains all over it. I really didn't like how dirty the whole place was, and it was strange that in the pictures it looked like the house was really clean. One thing I remembered specifically was that the living room had a brown leather couch in the picture, but the couch that was actually there was black. I figured Tom had probably used the pictures of the house from years ago before it sold. I was a bit annoyed at the dishonesty of it, but all that really mattered was my room, which was upstairs. Tom led the way to the stairs, then stopped when he reached the bottom of the steps and held his hand out in a gesturing manner as if he wanted me to head up first. I got a weird and uncomfortable feeling as I started up the stairs, as Tom didn't follow me. He stayed at the bottom and smiled, saying that my room would be the first one on the left. I continued to the top and took a couple steps into the hallway before a soft thud came from behind the door to what was said to be my room. I looked back down the stairs at Tom, whose smile was now completely gone.
Does someone else live here?
He replied in an annoyed tone, telling me that it was just one of his friends staying the night and not to worry about it, then urged me to check out the room for myself as he was sure that I'd like it. I was definitely pretty nervous at this point, scared even. Why wouldn't he have told me that someone else was here? It seemed like something that I should know. Everything started adding up, and all I wanted was to get out of there right away. I tried to act confident and began walking down the stairs as I explained that the place wasn't going to work out for me. He didn't seem to like that answer, and he moved his body to block most of the bottom of the stairs. I stood a couple steps away and firmly told him that I needed to leave. He asked me again to check out the bedroom to at least see if I liked it, and again I said I was not interested. He looked at me for a moment, then to my surprise he smiled and said okay, stepping aside. I quickly walked past him and straight out the front door. I don't know what was going on in that house, but something didn't feel right about any of it. I even felt lucky to have been able to leave so easily. In the moment, I thought I was going to have to force my way out. I checked Craigslist a couple hours later, and the posting had been removed. I still wonder who and what was in that room upstairs. For all I know, it could have just been an empty room, but something tells me that it was something much worse. I lived with a friend of mine, who I'll refer to as Nick, in a small house for a few years during college. He was my roommate for the first year, and then we decided to move out of the dorms and share the rent on a house since we both had decent enough jobs. This was both of our first times renting a place, so we didn't really know how to budget properly. After a few months, everything was okay, but it was almost a year in when we realized that this place was eating up both of our bank accounts. So the obvious solutions were to either move out or find another roommate. Neither of us wanted to leave, so we started the search for a roommate. We started by asking all of our other friends, but none of them were interested, so really the only option was to put up a post online. I made a post on Facebook Marketplace, and Nick made a post on Craigslist. Again, neither of us have ever done this, and it felt kind of weird, but we knew we didn't have much of a choice. A few weeks went by, with just a couple of responses, but none of them seriously considering moving in, before Nick shows me an email he got from someone named Sam, replying to his Craigslist post. The guy seemed legit, and the following day he came over to view the house. I should mention, he was a couple years older than us and had just graduated, but he seemed pretty nice and looked clean and everything, so we were glad to have him. He agreed to the split of rent and moved in the next week. In the few months following, Sam would hang out with us a lot, and we actually got to know him pretty well. But then all of a sudden, he became very closed off for some reason. Nick and I would barely ever see the guy, and when we did, he wouldn't even talk. He would sit in his room for the most part, with his door shut, and would only come out to get food or to go to work. It didn't bother me necessarily, I just found it a little strange. Anyways, it was around month 4 with him being there that things started to take a turn for the worst. I had just gotten home from work, and immediately as I walked through the door, Nick calls my name quietly from the living room.
"What's going on?"
He mentions that Sam was home, so to not talk too loud. Then he tells me about a strong smell he noticed when passing his room today. I told him I hadn't noticed it. He points down the hall towards Sam's room and tells me to quietly walk past and see if I notice. So, I got up and made my way quietly down the hall towards Sam's door. I didn't even have to get very close to smell what he was talking about. It was awful and really disgusting. I had no idea what it was, and had definitely never smelled it in the house before. Nick suggested we ask him what it was, and I agreed. We both went to his door, trying not to breathe in too hard, and knocked. Then knocked again and again, calling out to him. He didn't answer. Nick said he was sure that Sam was in there, but after a couple more minutes we just gave up and figured we'd ask him tomorrow. It was already pretty late at this point, so we both made a quick dinner and then ate while watching TV in the living room, and then we both went to bed. The next day, I caught Sam on his way out of the house and asked him what the smell was last night.
I was just taking out the trash.
He quickly left and drove off. That answer didn't really make any sense to me, but I didn't want to press him too hard. I told Nick later that day, and he agreed that it was weird, but didn't know what else to do, so we left it at that. Another couple weeks go by. Again, Sam barely talked to us, but the smell had gone away by now. I got home from work late one night, and Nick and Sam were both in the rooms, already asleep probably, so I pretty much went straight up to my room and fell asleep as well. But sometime in the middle of the night, I woke up hearing some movement below my room, which was where Sam's room was located downstairs. I listened for a couple minutes, trying to figure out what he was doing, but eventually I fell back asleep. The next morning, Sam ran out of the house to go to work as usual. However, he didn't return home that night. Another couple days would go by, and he still hadn't come home. I called him multiple times, and his phone instantly went to voicemail. We were actually starting to get worried and decided to check his room to see if there were any clues as to what was going on. His room was pretty messy, and actually kind of looked like a lot of his stuff had been packed up and taken out. I also found a pair of glasses in his drawer, with some other random belongings, which was weird because Sam didn't wear glasses. He left some clothes and all of his furniture behind, though, which made us believe that he didn't just move out suddenly. Nick ended up calling the police to notify them about Sam possibly being missing, and an officer arrived that night to investigate and ask us questions. We told him everything we knew and let him look at his room. Nick also gave him a picture that we had taken together back when Sam first moved in. After that, we didn't get an update until a week later. A different detective called us and informed us that the identity of the man in the photo with us was not Sam. They said a family member recognized them as their missing son who had been gone for almost a year. After that, the case got a lot more complicated, and we didn't have much helpful information because the guy pretty much lied about everything he told us. So after a little bit, we lost contact and stopped getting updates. As far as we were told, the man was just some regular guy that was living with his parents, who suddenly went missing for no known reason. He never came back to our house, though, and I'm not sure if he was ever found. It's definitely the most interesting and creepy experience I've had, though. Just knowing that I was living in the same house as someone who made up a completely fake identity and was legally missing gives me chills every time I think about it. It's pretty hard not to assume that this man was trying to hide from the police because of something he had done or was still doing.
Back when I was about 4 or 5 years old, me and my mom went over to stay with my grandparents for the weekend. My dad left before I was even born, so it's always just been me and my mom, and my grandparents were always a huge part of my life growing up. We'd go over on a Friday night, then I'd stay till late on a Sunday, mainly so my mom could have a social life or work the long weekend shifts at her job. So this one dark Sunday evening around the holidays, I remember getting carried out to the car, like half asleep already. And then I don't even remember driving off because I must have been out like a light the moment I got strapped into the car seat. But then the next thing I remember, I feel the cold on my face, and I can hear my mom crying and begging someone not to hurt her because she had me in the car. I remember looking outside and seeing what I honestly thought was a monster at the time, but what I later learned was a man in a bunny mask. If you've ever seen that slasher movie, You're Next, it was kind of like the mask in that movie, not some flimsy plastic thing. It was super detailed and really creepy looking. The guy's partner had basically stood in the middle of the road with his car at the side like he crashed it or something. Then when mom pulled over to help, he puts on a ski mask, his partner appears with a bunny mask on, and then proceeds to rob us before doing something unspeakable to my mom. And it almost killed her. And I mean that both literally and metaphorically. She spent almost 2 weeks in the hospital, and I ended up living with my grandparents for almost a whole year because she was in and out of various institutions because it messed her up so bad. I hardly got away scot-free either, as I had nightmares about a bunny monster chasing my mom for literally years afterward, with that image being burned into my retina. But like with most things, time is the greatest healer, and as I hit double-digit ages, things eventually got better and we started to live something of a normal life again. Cut to me being 24, still living with my mom, but looking for an apartment to move into because I got a decent paying job with my college degree. The place came unfurnished, so I was looking for cheap furniture and decor for the place, and one of the first places I started looking was Craigslist. In the for sale section, I started seeing some pretty sweet looking items for sale at bargain bin prices, so I contacted one of the sellers and discovered that it was some guy's granddaughter selling off a bunch of his stuff to pay for a care home. The girl seemed really nice, and she even promised me some kind of discount if I bought a bunch of stuff in bulk, which suited me because I needed the stuff fast and I needed a lot of it. We arranged for me to go over to her grandpa's place to check some of the stuff out before I handed over the cash for them. So, this one Saturday afternoon, I drove over to the house to start haggling. She introduced herself, was really sweet, but when I saw her grandpa, I realized why they needed the money for a care home. He was in a really, really bad way. Like, I don't know exactly what was wrong with him because I didn't exactly ask any questions about his condition, but If you put a gun to my head, I'd have to say MS or something bad like that. He couldn't move from his wheelchair. He had an oxygen tank. He barely even reacted to his granddaughter introducing me, and he generally looked like he didn't have too many years left. I checked out the main three items on my list, a closet, a desk, and a dinner table, and me and the granddaughter agreed on a price for them. I obviously had to arrange a U-Haul to go pick them up and all that stuff, but I figured I could arrange for the following weekend once we'd confirmed the purchases. Once that was done, me and the granddaughter had some coffee together and she explained that almost everything in the house was for sale. Apparently her grandpa had been something of a wild child in his youth, had been in and out of jail, and although he'd led a much more regular existence after his final stint in jail, he hadn't got a lot saved up for a rainy day. It was a real sad story, and the girl went on to explain that everything they'd piled into the garage was for sale too, and if I wanted to take a look around in there, I was more than welcome to. So, at this stage, I figured I'd just buy a few more things from them, maybe stuff they wouldn't be able to sell easily, knickknacks or whatever, so I could decorate my apartment while the money went to what I considered at the time to be a worthy cause. We finish up the coffee, the girl goes to help her grandpa out with something, and I head out to the garage to check out all the stuff that they piled in there. And boy, do I mean piled. There was a literal mountain of what they considered garbage in there, but some of the stuff I figured I could find a home for. I'm talking stuff like old cookie jars, books, weird little ornaments, all kinds of different things. I start digging through the pile of stuff, placing some of the items I'd considered buying to one side when, suddenly, I spotted something that had me frozen in place. What had obviously been bright white was now dirty gray brown, and all the paint in the eyes and in the mouth was old and peeling. But slowly and surely I recognized what it was. It was something I'd seen in probably hundreds of nightmares I had as a kid. Something that had traumatized me and my mom for years and years and years. It was a bunny mask, of the exact same design as the one worn by the guy who'd almost taken my mom from me. I remember looking at it for a few seconds, then kind of stumbling back away from the trash pile in complete disbelief. I told myself that there's no way it was the exact same one. I mean, it looked like a mass-produced Easter bunny mask or something, definitely the same kind worn by that criminal, just not the exact same one. But then I started to piece it together, how Grandpa had been in and out of prison, and it all started to make a horrible kind of sense. I tried to pull myself together, and I think I did a good enough job of it to just bundle up what I'd pulled out from the trash pile before carrying it into the house to talk. I put on my fakest smile, paid for the stuff, then tried to make it sound as natural and innocently curious as possible when I asked the girl what her grandpa had gone to jail for. She was kind of taken aback and didn't know exactly. She just knew that he didn't talk much about it, and neither did her mom. So, she figured whatever it was, it must have been something he was pretty ashamed of. I then asked if I could go into the room with the guy to thank him personally, insisting when the girl said he might not be able to really hear me, and if he did, he probably wouldn't respond in any way. I said it was okay, still maintaining my composure as I insisted on going into his room to thank him. The girl must have thought I was pretty weird by that point. Sweet, maybe, but definitely kind of strange. Yet still, she let me go into her grandpa's room to thank him. I really did try my absolute best to maintain my composure, but by the time I got to the guy's bedroom door, my hand was shaking when I grabbed the handle to open it. When I walked in, there he was, sitting in his wheelchair, not even looking to see who walked into the room. His granddaughter had positioned him in front of a TV, but he wasn't really watching it. It looked like he was just kind of staring into space. I sat down on the bed near him, just kind of arranging my thoughts at first, and as I asked him my first question, I started to wonder, what in God's name was I thinking? I asked him something like, "Where were you living around in December of 1987? It didn't even get so much as a nod from him. He just kept this empty stare fixed on the wall in front of him. I actually wanted to just get up and leave, wondering if my questions would just end up confusing or upsetting a sick old man. But there was some part of me that just wouldn't let me leave without asking him the other questions. the scared little girl in me that wanted answers, who just didn't want to be scared anymore. I was hoping he'd say something, say anything to me about that mask I found in the garage. But as it turned out, I didn't need his words to know he could hear me. Then before I could even think to stop, I asked him, "Did you rob a woman with a kid in her car back around Christmas time of that year?" Nothing moved, but his eyes, which pitched up from the spot he was looking at as he began to stare at something else. But this time, it wasn't like he was just staring into oblivion. It was like he was thinking, remembering. I told him that his granddaughter had told me he'd been in and out of jail, and although he hadn't told me exactly what for, that I thought I knew what one of the sentences was for. He stayed quiet, but his jaw began to gently tremble, almost like he was trying to say something, but couldn't. What I said next was basically a lie. I didn't know it 100%, but when I told him, "I know it was you," his reaction confirmed it in my head. I know he was hardly capable of effectively communicating, but anyone else would have at least been indignant about the whole thing, maybe looked angry or confused. But even in his condition, he looked filled with regret. I saw tears welling up in his eyes as the frustration of not being able to talk began to overwhelm him. At least, that's what I figured his reaction was. I don't know if he wanted to tell me to go kick rocks or if he was sorry or what, but I didn't care for anything he had to say at that point. I just had one more thing to say to him before I got up and walked out. "You almost ruined my life. You don't deserve to be in that chair." He actually let out a kind of whimper as I stood up and walked out. And when the guy's granddaughter stopped me to say thank you, I disguised the emotion I was feeling by telling her that myself and her grandpa had shared quite an emotional exchange of gratitude, and that I was sorry if I agitated him. I guess she thought it was kind of sweet, and I honestly hope she never finds out the truth, but after getting back into my car, I only made it about 2 blocks before I pulled over and just started bawling. I was filled with doubt. Like, the thing that got me crying was the idea that I might have just seriously distressed a sick old man. But this other voice in my head just kept saying, "That was him. I know it was him. It had to be him." When I regained my composure, I drove over to my mom's place to tell her about it, and we both cried together when she said she also thought it was the same guy. I asked her if anyone was caught for what happened to us, and she said yes, that they were sent to jail as a result, and she had to appear in court to testify. That was part of the whole reason I was staying with my grandparents during that period. The whole court appearance thing just weighed so heavily on her mental health. I actually had no idea anyone was caught for it up until that moment. I was always under the impression that no one had been arrested, and I grew up knowing better than to bring it up with my mom. I mean, I still wouldn't have ever really spoken to her about it if it wasn't for that chance encounter, and part of me wondered if she'd even really believe me. It was only when I described what the guy looked like that it actually clicked for her. As at first, she just refused to believe it. It seemed like the perfect karma for the guy. Like too perfect an end to a story, and I don't believe endings like that happen very often in life. In the months that followed, it felt like a great weight had been lifted from our shoulders. Nothing could ever change the past or undo the trauma we both experienced, but knowing the guy was suffering in such a way was almost like proof that there was a God. I know that might sound a little unhinged, but I can't really think of another way to phrase it. I guess I still don't quite believe in happy endings, and I still think the world is a cold, cruel place, but I know from experience that there is such a thing as divine justice.